up, Power Players? It's your host and founder of Empower Nani. I'm coming to you live with another episode of Power Talk. So welcome to Season 1, Episode 59. Let's go! Now, I bet you guys are wondering, Nani, who'd you bring into the Power Talk today? And I brought in my very good friend, Mr. Tony Peck. But those of you guys that do know him as the godfather of Instagram. He's the co-founder of Why Not You Media, and he's definitely disrupting the industry. And I'm super excited to have him come in and dive into the pillars of social media and how networking and utilizing Instagram has helped him build a multi-million dollar business. So I'm super excited to tune in with this with you guys. And I do got some requirements, and that's this. One, turn off all your distractions, turn off your noises, turn off the notifications, turn it all off, and make sure that you completely hone in on this conversation. Number two, make sure that you have a pen and paper handy. That way you can go ahead and take notes. And not only when you take these notes, I want you to go ahead and take action. Because when you take action, we all know that leads to results. And what we want you to do is get in power of your life, get in power of your business, get in power of your brand, and get in power of who you are. So make sure that you take these notes, make sure you turn off your distractions. And I got one last requirement, and that is this. You ready? I'm ready. Let's go. Boom! I got Tony Peck in the building. How you doing, Tony?
Doing absolutely fantastic, Nani. How have you been?
I'm great. I'm glad to have you in the Power Talk today. I'm glad to dive in with you. For those of you guys that don't know who Tony is better known as the godfather of Instagram. He's the co-founder of Why Not You Marketing. Media, correct? Not marketing.
Yep.
With that being said, he's been in the entrepreneur space for over 2 years now, and he's had great success with scaling businesses. His main focus is Instagram branding and making sure that he's putting business owners in the position to win and leverage social media by doing that. So Tony, what I want to do is kind of depict your mind and figure out how you got to where you're at, how you utilize Instagram, how you get your branding going. But before we do that, I want to know who you were when you were a kid. Take me back to baby Tony. Where are you from?
Absolutely.
Tell me about it.
Let's do it. So I am from New York, born and raised in the Bronx, come from an Italian household, represent all the Italians out there. And, you know, we didn't come from much money. I would say lower middle class. I had everything I needed, food, clothing, shelter, but anything extra, you know, movies, going out with the friends, not a dollar was given to me. So I started working from an early age. I was about sixth grade when I first started getting my first job. And that's when the entrepreneur bug kind of kicked in. I didn't really know what it was back then. You know, I didn't learn about entrepreneurship just till really a few years ago, to be honest with you. But always been an entrepreneur, you know, instead of snow days, always shoveling driveways with the snow. Buying Yu-Gi-Oh cards back in the thing, that was my thing. I used to flip those a lot. You know, in New York, BB guns were illegal. So we'll keep this on the DL, but me and my best friend, when I was in high school, we used to go up to Pennsylvania, buy BB guns, and then sell them to kids back in New York.
That's
we doubled
great.
The margin, you know. So I always had that entrepreneur drive behind me, but I didn't come from an entrepreneur family. You know, my father, union guy, worked his ass off to give us everything we needed. You know, at some times in my life, my dad was working 2 or 3 jobs. And it wasn't always about him. He just didn't understand. You know, when you don't know, you don't know. But my grandfather, fortunately enough, he had a pizzeria when I was a kid growing up. So I spent a lot of time around him and really started to embody that Italian culture and that Italian mindset where I think it's like the immigrant edge, right? Where you come here from having nothing and being able to create something from that just because you have to. You know, that's the only reason he did it was because it was out of necessity. And he taught me a lot while I worked him at the pizzeria about how to treat customers right. It's not always about the product, it's about the service you deliver to people. And, you know, being around him and seeing what he was able to build without even knowing that much English, to be honest with you, was amazing. And then being around him so much, I was around all these other Italian guys. And that's where I really started getting into that Italian culture where I wear tracksuits a lot. You know, I smoke my cigars. And that's why I became the godfather of Instagram. People see that I embody that Italian, that old school Italian culture that really has lost its touch in this day and generation, which is sad. But I definitely bring that to life for sure. And while I was younger, went to high school and I was smart, you know, I got by, got good grades, like a 4.0. I never had to try hard with school, thank God, but I just got it. I don't know, whatever it was, it worked. So college talk came around and my dad told me, you know, you have to go to college. He didn't go to college, so I had to go to college, you know.
Yeah.
No, you don't know. And I said, you know what, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I don't want to be in school for long because I don't enjoy it. So I got to do 4 years, be in and out and be done. And I wanted to make good money when I graduated college. So I looked into engineering because 4 years, started out of college making like $60,000 a year. I was like, that's good money. I'm a high school kid. What the fuck do I know? And I went to Manhattan College, which was pretty local to me, luckily. And it was in New York. And while I was in school, I remember this day vividly. I was a freshman in college and I was in my dorm room with a few of my buddies. And we started talking about Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and how much money they make a minute. And the number was disgusting. Whatever the number was, I don't even remember, but it was a disgusting amount of money. And I said, these are regular guys. Like, these aren't anything special, you know? So with them, I said, if they can do it, why can't I do it? Why can't I be doing something different to get to be able to make more money? You know, I know this engineering grad could be good, but I got to be able to do something different. So that's where I really started to prod my mind and said, what can I create while I'm in college, while I have time, that can take me to the next level when I graduate? And by the end of freshman year, I started my first business. It was called Tony's Lip Care. It was a chapstick company, believe it or not. And it was natural, organic lip balm. I was literally going dorm room to dorm room selling it. And every Saturday morning, instead of going at it Friday night, I would pay to be in like a trade show up in upstate New York in Westchester. And I'd wake up at like 5 a.m., go up there and just sell lip balm to all the women in Westchester, pretty much. And that's when I really started to learn business. You know, I started to learn about taxes and, you know, bad things about taxes when you don't know what taxes really are as a business owner. And then I started getting in front of big box retailers. I got in front of Sephora, I got in front of Mac, but I couldn't fulfill the purchase order. So that kind of fizzled out while I was in college. But along that journey, I started learning a lot about myself. And I knew that working for someone else just wasn't going to be what I'm meant to do long term. Even if I had to do it a little bit in the interim just to get a taste of it. Because listen, I look at it this way. There are a lot of entrepreneurs out there that are in a job right now. I don't believe that if you have a job, that you're not an entrepreneur. You may just not have been able to transition out yet. Or maybe you don't know your fullest potential yet. There's a lot of factors that go into it.
Yeah.
But the one I like to tell as many people as I can is that if you're in a job and you hate it, right? You don't want to be working, you want to be an entrepreneur, you have your own business, take the job as an opportunity to learn. Because if you're at a company that does well, learn what a good company does. If you're at a company that's not doing well, learn what a bad company does and do not do it when you have your own business.
Yeah.
So there's always stuff to learn along the journey. And I learned that at a young age, thank God. And you know, when I was in college, I said to myself, I need to be around people that I want to be like when I'm older. And I live in New York. So I said, I have a massive opportunity to take a hold of going to cigar lounges in Manhattan. So I started my cigar journey. I used to go to the cigar lounge in the city by myself. You know, I knew no one and I didn't know anything about cigars. It was the scariest fucking thing I ever did. I'll be honest with you. And I would sit down. The first time I went, I remember like it was yesterday. I went from Grand Central to Nat Sherman. I sat down with a group of six random guys. They didn't know each other either. So it was really awkward. But I was also the youngest person there by 20 years. Everyone was 40, 50, 60 years old. And I sat down and I asked one guy, what's that? You know, I heard that was a good cigar. You have any cigar recommendations? I'm new into smoking cigars. And he started talking to me about cigars. And then the guy next to him started talking to me about cigars and so on and so forth. And then they asked me, what do you do? And I said, I'm a college kid. I'm like, oh, my son's age, my daughter's age. And they got all excited because their kids don't listen to them. I'm like, teach me more.
Yeah.
Because if you're smoking a $50 cigar at 1 in the afternoon on a Tuesday, you're making money.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So I started going to cigar lounges more and more. I really started doubling down on that as like being my niche while I was in college. I started doing that junior year of college. And then as senior year came about, I stopped going out on the weekends. I would only go to cigar lounges. And that's where I really got to meet big guys. Like I'm good friends with the Prince of Finland, the owner of Bacardi, Rudy Giuliani. And that was
awesome.
Yeah, it was crazy shit. All from smoking cigars with them. But what I learned around being them was so much invaluable advice that I wouldn't have learned in school otherwise. You know, I learned about how to be an attentive listener, how to be an effective communicator, how to be an efficient networker, especially around guys that are making not six figures, not seven figures, not even eight figures, sometimes nine figures and above. You know, like these guys were in a different class that I would never have the opportunity to meet if I was in a restaurant with them or anywhere else.
Definitely.
But because I was in the cigar lounge, I got to meet them. And I invested, though. And that's another thing, too, I don't think people realize. You need to invest. Yeah. I invested in the memberships. I invested my time. I invested money. I would pay for the expensive cigars. I'd buy them drinks. I'd buy them cigars because I'm taking time away from you that I know you can be making way more money, but you're giving it to me just to talk and hang out. I'm going to try to take the best that I can to take care of you. And they respected that tremendously. And when I graduated college, I said to myself, I'm around all these high net worth individuals. I can't get a job. Like, how am I going to keep this lifestyle up and come here and hang out with them and be like, oh, yeah, I just came to my engineering job, you know? They're like, what the fuck, Tony, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know what? This is my time to decide on doing something that I know can take me to the next level if I so choose to do so. So I said, well, I got to figure it out. Started trading penny stocks. And while I was doing that, I was doing all right, you know, nothing crazy, but I had so much time. I was only training for like 3 hours a day. So I said, you know what? It's time for me to make an Instagram page. Why not? This is 3 years ago, too, keep in mind. So I made my first Instagram account, and I called it Ace of Trading. And I was just posting motivational stuff and me smoking cigars and seeing what was happening. started growing. I was like, this would be cool. Let me make another page. So then I made Ace of Cigars. Then I made Ace of Cars, Ace of Fitness, Ace of Motivation, Ace of Ledger. I ended up making 13 accounts. And in 4 months, I had over 250,000 followers. And that's when the ball really started rolling. People started reaching out to me like, hey, can you shout out my picture? Yeah, sure. How much? I'm like, how much? What the fuck? You're going to pay me to post a picture? I'm like, $5. I'm like, sure. Send me your paper. I'm like, this is fucking cool. You know?
Yeah.
3 years ago, it wasn't like it is now, where it's like everyone, it's everything could be transactional on Instagram. Back then, it wasn't like that. You know, not everyone was even on Instagram back then. And I started getting that traction. And then people started reaching out to me, hey, can you grow my account? Yeah, sure. Send me $50. I'll manage your account for a month, see what happens, right? And that's how it all started for me. And people started giving me the name the Godfather of Instagram. And then from there, we expanded. Now we have a team of 15 people. We have an office in New York. I got 3 other partners. We do everything from Instagram growth to content creation to branding strategy to ads to websites to PR now. So it's been an amazing journey, and I've learned an immense amount. And it's funny because right before we're doing this interview, I was only putting on my story. Today's New Year's Eve. I don't know when this is dropping, but I was putting on my story recaps of memories from 2019 of like accomplishments and experience that I had. And from January to now, the difference in the amount of momentum that got built up from the first 6 months of the year where there wasn't anything exciting to really see about me to then 6 months later where it's like I was on TV, PR, speaking, interview, this, that, and the other. It was because of the 6 months prior. And people don't see that much, you know? And it's amazing that we have the opportunity on Instagram to be able to showcase that much of a person's journey in today's age. So that was a quick little glimpse into me. I like to talk in Italian, so me and Nani can talk all day long.
It's good, man. I love it because you kind of went into a couple things that I want to lean into. So I do want to ask you some questions just about your journey because, one, I'm wowed by it. I met Tony personally in Boston. And when me and Tony met, we instantly hit it off. We went to dinner and we talked for literally hours. And just like you see him here, is what you see is what you get. And I really, really admire that about him. Just like how you stated, your grind has gotten you a lot. I feel like when you meet you, that's exactly the vibe you get. So what I want to know, you went to college, Manhattan College. You went for an engineering degree. Ideally, your idea was to trade penny stocks, teach people how to trade penny stocks, and then go forward with it, right? Now, when you took this pivotal shift of, okay, I don't want to use my degree. I actually want to go forward being an entrepreneur. How was that shift? Because I'm sure that it wasn't something your parents were too fond of, especially your dad being a union man, your mom being hardworking. I'm sure they were like, what the hell, dude? You just went to school for 4 years. Don't throw that away. So how was that shift for you?
It was absolutely terrifying, but my whole logic was the degree is a backup. You know, worst case, I fall. I've never been afraid to fail. I know a lot of people, they have a difficult time failing because we're talking about young failing's bad. I learned young failing's good. You know, when I was in college, I failed. I tried the lip balm. It didn't work. I tried real estate. I tried to apply to every investment bank in New York City, which is 187 of them I sent that applications to. I got denied from most of everyone, obviously. I'm not working there. But I only got like 17 rejection letters. So I was good at failing. I failed a lot prior to get there. So I said, you know what? This is my opportunity now. I'm young. I have the time that if I do fail, I can still keep figuring it out. And I just knew I had to do what was right for me because at the end of the day, my dad may have been a hard worker and a union guy and that's what he knows. But my dad hasn't been happy because of the financials, right? So it was like, if I'm going to follow your footsteps and try to go the route you're telling me, it's not going to lead me to me being happy. I know I'm meant for more. I know he was meant for more, but he just didn't go that route. So I said to myself, I had to take the chance, as scary as it is, and I know myself and I can figure it out. So that was my thought process with it. I didn't have support from my family. I didn't have support from friends. It was just me. And listen, when I was first doing my Instagram account, I was this large Italian guy who motivated people. I would curse. I'm in your face. I'm smoking cigars. I'm wearing tracksuits. I'm showing cash. I got made fun of relentlessly. It was insanity. And now to see what I was able to create in 3 years just goes to show you, even if people are laughing at the beginning, it doesn't fucking matter. It does not matter who believes in you, and you don't need anyone to believe in you except for yourself.
Yeah.
And I think in today's age, everyone wants at least one other person to believe in them more than they believe in themselves, which is actually fucking nonsense. If it's your dream, fuck everyone else. If you think it's the right thing for you to do, you can make it happen if you want it to happen. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need your money. You don't need your sister's support. You don't need your best friend to say, yes, it's a great idea. If you think it's a good idea and you're going to actually put your heart and soul into it, you'll be able to make something out of it. And guess what? Even if you fail, because the biggest thing people have is the fear to fail because they don't want to get made fun of by people that they know, you should make fun of those who are not fucking trying.
Yeah.
Why are you going to give a shit if someone makes fun of you for failing on something you try to do to change your life? To me, it's absolute nonsense. So
I know, I love that, because it's true. Thin the herd, right? Your message isn't going to be for everybody, but the more that you put yourself in a position to actually get targeted, where people are like, I don't like this message, I don't support what he's doing, that's better. You know why? Because now you're getting your message in front of the people that are going to support you. And a lot of the time, your family, they're not going to go forward with wanting you to be an entrepreneur. They care about you. It's not that they don't believe you can't do it, it's just that they're afraid that if you don't do it, they're afraid of, you know, the expectations, they're afraid of what it could do to you mentally. And I think that a lot of us take it personally, where it's like, man, my mom doesn't believe in me. It's that she loves you, she believes in you so much, but she just doesn't want something wrong to happen to you. Now, we speak about Instagram, you speak about brand building, PR. I want to know, what would your tip be right now for an entrepreneur that's just getting ramped up with their branding, that's just getting started in the entrepreneur scene? What are some ways that they can elevate their brand on Instagram? Because you say that you started 13 accounts, and within 13 accounts, you got over 250,000 followers. And for you guys that don't understand, the more eyes you have, the more email lists that you can build, the more attention you can make for yourself and your business, and you can promote and you can put them down the ladder. So what I want to know with you is, what's some tips to start elevating your brand on Instagram?
Yeah, listen, at the end of the day, like you said, you hit the nail on the head there. More eyes equal more attention. More attention is more money, more leverage, more opportunity, more anything that it is you want, more people knowing about who you are. But for you to elevate your brand on Instagram, you need to know who your brand is in real life. Okay, every single person is a brand. If you have a job, you don't have a job, it doesn't matter. You have a brand. You as an individual is a brand. And when I first started on Instagram, I had no fucking idea what I was going to post. So I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to post just about who I am, and that's it. If people don't like it, they don't like it. I don't care. I'm not going to not curse because of Instagram and people may not like it. If I'm going to curse in real life, I'm going to curse on Instagram, because when you meet me, I don't want the ball to fall short from where the goal is, right? So when I first started, I had to figure out kind of what am I going to tackle? What am I going to put out there for people? Like, who am I really as a person? So first thing you got to do if you're building a brand on Instagram, be aware. Be aware of who you are as an individual or as a business, whatever the page is about. Have a clear vision for what the goal of the page is going to be long term. Are you doing, I knew from the start when I made my Ace Trading page, it was to impact. At that point in time, it was impact people to learn how to trade, but it's always been impact, you know, and then it started transitioning to impacting people by motivating them, by showing them stuff. And the best thing you can do, and if this doesn't even cost any money, guys, this costs just time and sacrifice and hard work, plain and simple. Just keep showing everything you're doing on your story. Document your journey. And I don't want to hear the bullshit. My company's not where it's supposed to be. I'm not a big name. I have no accolades, no accomplishments. Show that. Talk about that in your story. Say, hey guys, you know, another hard day hitting the phones, didn't get anyone on the phone. You know, just talk about your journey. Show people want to know. People want to see the bad, the good, and the ugly. And guess what? When you show the stuff in the beginning and you start to become bigger and bigger, people are going to remember the stuff in the past when they saw you before you were big. Give people a reason to connect with you and really relate to you. Because listen, at the end of the day, almost every single person that we know that is big started out as being someone small. So people will relate to you when you're small, but so many people are afraid to show it because Instagram's a fucking highlight reel. You know, I get on my story sometimes and I'll say, I'm having a terrible Monday. It just wasn't a good Monday for me. I did not get done as much as I wanted that I needed to. I'm not in the best mind state today. It's raining out, it's just fucking foggy, it's nasty, I don't feel good, I'm not in the mood, but I still put the work in today, you know, I didn't want to. Talk about stuff. Or sometimes I'll say, I didn't do anything today. It was a rough day. I just couldn't get out of bed. It was really difficult for me. Be honest with people. You know, people are going to relate. If you're this robot, cookie-cutter character that a lot of people want to become as a brand on Instagram, you're going to fail long-term. You cannot create your brand on Instagram by doing things that you think others will like. Yeah. Just be yourself, plain and simple, and show as much as you can. Like, I show my sister a lot. My sister's my reason I do everything. She's my why. She's the reason I get out of bed in the morning when I don't want to. She's the reason I work late. She's the reason I fucking do everything. And I show that to people when I take her out. I show that I'm with her. I show that I'm spending time with her. You can show everything you're doing if you do it in the right way. So, because people want to know who you are and about you. So the best tip, honestly, is just to be yourself and document as much of your journey as you possibly can in your stories for people to see and build relationships with.
I love that. And what would you say are the top 3 mistakes entrepreneurs are making, not even entrepreneurs, individuals that are making with their Instagram accounts? What are the 3 things that they shouldn't be doing? And what's the 3 things that you see so often and it's not benefiting them?
Well, I think first and foremost, back to what I said, it's the number one mistake you can make is by putting stuff out there that you're doing because you think others are going to like. The recipe for disaster long term, only do stuff that is authentic to you from the start. That's it. I think the second thing I see a lot of is people trying to use Instagram to not leverage it as a way to build authentic relationships, right? I take a lot of my online relationships offline. I think people try to use it as like a storyboard and they just want to put stuff out there with no purpose. Don't post just to post. Yeah. Have a purpose every time you post. You know, yeah, it's going to take a little bit longer, but you don't have to post as much if you have more intent and purpose behind every post you're doing. Listen, if you're a realtor and you're always posting listings on your feed, no one buying shit from you. You know, if you have a family, though, and you're a realtor, show your family a little bit. You know, doing stuff like that, the strategy and the theme about what type of content they're putting out there, that's what I see a lot of people do terrible with. And number three, consistency and engagement. I'm going to tie those two together because I see a lot of people are not consistent. I've been doing this consistently for 3 years. Even when I was in the dumps, even when I didn't see the momentum happening, I always stayed consistent on posting on my personal page no matter what.
Yeah.
And then on the second part is engagement. Every person that comments on your post, you should fucking answer. You're not bigger than anyone else. I got 65,000 followers and over 1,500 DMs in my DM right now. I'm going to get through every single one of them. I'm not bigger than anyone else. You know, and you need to stay humble throughout the entire journey. Because I see a lot of entrepreneurs, they start getting a lot of fucking messages or they start getting a lot of comments, they stop answering shit. You can't do that. Not if you want to build authentic relationships and really build an empire that's going to last long, long term.
Yeah, and not only that, but I see it a lot too, where people make a fire post, they get a lot of likes, they get a lot of comments, and then, so you guys know, the sooner you respond, the better for you in the algorithm of Instagram. It's gonna go up, people are gonna see it, it's gonna be on the For You page, people are gonna see that. But if you go ahead and you have all these posts and you don't engage with your audience, you're not relating to them, a lot of the time, one, you're harming yourself, you're harming your brand, and you're not really being a relationship builder. And I think that you show that a lot. You know, you go to different cigar lounges, you make sure that you're in BNI. I looked you up and I saw you're a part of a bunch of networking groups. So let's dive into that a little bit, right? I always say the power of handshaking. You know, the more hands I shake, the more opportunities I create, the more money I make. And I see that being with everybody. I go to masterminds, I go to networking events, and I always get a better opportunity. So what are some tips for people that are getting into business? Let's say they're in a coaching space, or let's say they're in a digital marketing space like you, that want to leverage their business and get organic traffic. How do you leverage that network marketing groups? How do you leverage just meeting people?
Yeah, listen, when I first started the business, my whole mindset was I need to build relationships. Money's going to come. I'm not a traditional business owner where it's like I needed a business plan written out. I knew where I was going to start. I knew what I wanted to create. I knew how I was going to do it by building authentic relationships and putting in the time and effort to keep those relationships growing as while making new relationships. And like I said, on Instagram, you have a massive opportunity to be able to network from your phone, but you can't stop there. No matter what, pretty much whatever industry you're in, if you're an entrepreneur, and I'm sure if you're listening to this, you have an opportunity to make relationships on your phone, but it's just as important to make relationships in person. I don't think enough people realize that just because you have the phone and you can have all this reach, that doesn't mean you can stop going in person and connecting with people. There's a different layer of depth you get by meeting people in person. You have to be able to do both. And a lot of people say, I don't sleep a lot, because I'm either spending time on the phone building relationships, or, as Nani's seen, I'm in meetings all fucking day long. A lot of the meetings, not every meeting results to money. It results to money long term because I'm building the relationship now. That support. I'm building that foundation. It takes time. It's supposed to take time. Make a quick hit of money on your story, throw a poll up, get some leads, shoot some DMs out, close the deal, boom. Then the rest of your night should be allocated to actual in-person meetings. You have to be able to find the fine line between both. And the reason we've been able to grow so quickly and so successfully in a space that's getting more and more saturated every day, the digital marketing space, is because my competitors, they want to do stuff over the phone. I want to do everything in person, because in person, we're getting closer every single day that I see you, you know? And then my touch point is my Instagram. Like, all my clients, they follow me on Instagram. So even if I'm not seeing them every day, I see them once or maybe twice a month, and I'm with them for 3-4 hours because I like to do long meetings to really get into it, they're going to get touched by me every single day on my story, and they're going to feel like they saw me in a short amount of time that they did otherwise. And where else are they going to go? They're going to go to my competitor that's not going to meet them at all. There's no way. There's nowhere else for you to go if you're angling yourself that way. So listen, the best way to network, if you go into networking events, networking groups, masterminds, whatever it is, do not network for the sake of networking. Okay, network to build the relationship. Find out about that person. Be genuinely interested in learning about who they are, what they do, and most importantly, why they started doing it. I ask everyone, whenever they tell me what they do, why? Like, what got you into it? Like, I don't really care if you're a real estate agent. I don't really care if you're a life coach. I kind of want to know why you started that. Like, it's interesting. Like, I fell into Instagram, right?
Yeah.
It was pretty accidental to me. So I want to hear everyone else. I'm sure everyone else has interesting stories too. And when people start to talk to you, you end up doing a lot less talking, and then by the end of the meeting, you barely said anything, but they feel like they know you. And you're like, what the fuck? I barely said a word. It's because they were able to vent to you. Most people will not listen to others. But it's another thing, too, to not just listen with your eyes, but really listen in your mind. Take in what they're saying. If they drop their birthday, or if they drop that they have a daughter, or if they drop their wife's, that they have a wife, like, reach out on the anniversary. Find out when the anniversary is. Find out when the daughter's birthday is. Shoot them a message. You know, on Christmas, me and I were talking about this. I had over 500 text messages between inbound and outbound, right? It's an insane amount. That's all from people that I have relationships with. You know, and every person gets a separate text that's custom and personal to them. And then I go to the next person sending a message. It took me my entire fucking Christmas day, bottom line. But that's what it's going to take to keep these relationships going over the long course of time. Because people want to know that you're thinking about them. And I do think about them, because without them, I have nothing. I have no fucking business. And I want to segue right into that too, because a lot of people, especially our generation, they bitch and moan about customers that are difficult to deal with. I've never had a difficult fucking customer. Yeah, I've had people that may, in other people's eyes, be difficult customers. I'll take any difficult customer any day of the week, as opposed to having a 9-to-5. You know, so I don't have a fucking single difficult customer. I'm blessed for every single customer I have, whether they're someone that needs more attention or less attention. But without them, I have nothing. And I think the mindset shift of people in our generation really need to change and be a little more humbled by, hey, you're a 25-year-old making full-time income from your fucking phone, and you want to bitch and moan about a customer being needy. Are you fucking kidding me? You know, you know, a boss being needy, you're bitching about a customer, be someone that pays you. Like, again, some people are more harder to deal with, but that doesn't mean they're a difficult customer. I would never say that I have difficult customers. You know, and I know we kind of got a little off track there.
Yeah, no, but I love that because, you know, you talk about it. You're not looking for a short-term fix, right? You're not looking for a quick customer. And I think that that's what this generation consists of. They want everything instant. We get our TV shows instant. We give our packages instantly. We could put food in a microwave and we could get it instant in 30 seconds. So I think most people are looking to create an instant deal rather a long-term relationship, a long-term customer. And what you just said was killer, because if you're listening to this right now, you have a local market marketing agency, you have a local business, you are a local entrepreneur. I think so many people try to dominate outside of their backyard, and what you're doing is right there, you're building relationships, you're not doing the phone thing, you're not doing just, hey, let me stick on Instagram with you. You're actually going out to meet these people, build a relationship with them, let them know you like and trust you. That way you can go ahead and build that bond. And I think so many people miss that because they're like, well, I followed up with them, I have great rapport with them. You know, I'm good to go. They know me. They remember me. But what they don't realize is they're not going to know you and remember you because you're doing what the other guys are doing. You know, what separates you? And I think that so many of us want to get that quick win. But what if we get that quick relationship so we can go ahead and take it to a long-term build, make it to a long-term value-driven client? So I love that you talk about that, and I love that that's what your business is based around. Now, I know that you do content creation, you do web design, and you also do PR. Where did you get into PR? Where did the content creation come in? And what are some tips for creating good content? Because I know myself, I'm looking to always up my content game. I know Liam here on the call is always creating content. So what are some good tips for content creation?
I'm glad you brought that up, because all the extensions of everything I did from Instagram Growth and Beyond came from relationships. You know, when I first had Instagram customers and I started meeting with more people in person I was doing business with, then the conversation became, hey, do you do content? Do you know someone that does content? And then I went back to my partners and we're like, yeah, we can figure out content. You know, my partner, Fran, he's been on stunt sets before, so he has a content background. So we started building a little content team because we saw it as a necessity for what our clients needed. Mm-hmm. You know, we're big and we don't sell clients stuff they don't need. Not every client needs every one of my services. Some potential clients don't need anything that I offer at their point in time. And I have no problem telling people that. And I've told people that many times in the past, that just because you think you need a refresh on your website doesn't mean you actually need it. You may not get a return. Bottom line for me is whatever we do for the customer has to make the money long term. I don't care if it's more followers, if the more followers are going to make them more money. That's what I care about, right? So with the content side, I had to create good content. You need to create stuff that's different. You know, our motto is create to separate. And it's not the easiest thing to give in a generalized nutshell on how you can create content differently. You really have to think about what your brand is. Like me, I'm the godfather of Instagram. I wear tracksuits. It's fucking different. But how do I take that to the next level? Like, we have pictures where there's five of me in tracksuits. That's different shit. Or they have a picture of me with a floating phone. It's different shit. right? We did like a remock of Goodfellas where they introduced like the people in the movie. It was like Lefty Two Guns or whatever. We did the same thing in my cigar lounge with me and like six of the guys on my team. Like, oh, this is Tony Two Times. This is everything two times, you know? And it's just doing stuff. Yeah, exactly. It has nothing to do with business sometimes, the stuff that we put out there. But that fucking Goodfellas video got shared 800 times and got saved 400 times.
Okay? Oh, I love that.
That's my most shared and saved post. That drives attention to my page. And then once they're there, they're going to find that I do marketing. I'm the godfather of my grow accounts. That's my thing. You're going to see it once you get there. But too many people think that they need content purely based on getting something business-wise, right? Or either telling people about your business or trying to generate leads from the content. You don't. You need content that, yeah, we'll talk about what you do, talk about how you do it, and we'll generate your business. But you also need content to show a side of you that's different, okay? And that's what a lot of people miss. You know, I post my pictures and I write valuable captions. It has nothing to do with marketing. I'm talking about motivation. I'm talking about my journey. I'm telling you about my story. Because if you like me, you're going to want to work with me regardless of what I'm selling you. And that's how I get business. I don't get business because I'm the best at what I do. You'll never hear me say that. I'm good with relationships. And people want to work with me because they like me, bottom line. And you can go to a competitor that maybe will do some of the stuff that we do. But if you go to my competitor, you can't work with Tony Peck. So people want to come to work with who they're working with. And that's super important to highlight in your content. It really is.
And you know what? You hit that. Like, I love that. If I had a bomb exploding sound, I would go ahead and do that. Because listen, man, you just said it. A lot of businesses are doing the same thing we're all doing, right? But I think the separator is that I don't come with the deal. Tony doesn't come with the deal. Liam doesn't come with the deal. Roberto doesn't come with the deal. And I think that so many people want that win so quickly that they're willing to just, let me lower my value. Let me lower my price. Let me lower what I'm doing for you. Instead of just making them realize, hey, you got a great deal over there, but I don't come with the deal. So it's not that great, right? And I love that you speak on that. So coming into the new year, what are some plans that you got going for 2020 with Why Not You Media?
So I haven't released this to the public yet. You guys can get a little insider information here. We got selected to be an accredited Forbes marketing agency right before Christmas.
So awesome.
Yeah, fucking really insane.
Congrats.
And thank you. And that gives us now the ability to publish 10 to 12 articles on Forbes in 2020. So that's a big jump for us to be able to be Forbes contributors and have a Why Not You Media page on Forbes, which is huge. And then just really expanding outside of what we've been doing. We're adding a different layer of depth to our content side. We're calling it creative content, where we're going to be doing some sick videos. It's going to help a lot of musicians and artists and even real estate, like people in regular industries like realtors. They're going to be able to have that ability to do real creative stuff with us now. That's completely outside of the norm. You know, that's because of my creative team behind us. Thank God for that. But aside from that, I'm really focused on 2020, just more relationships. Last year, I set a goal financially. I set a goal for how many DMs I want to send. I set all these fucking goals. I had like a big list of like 20 fucking 40 things, whatever it was. You lose track after the first quarter. I can't look at this fucking long list every day. So my end goal for 2020 is just more relationships. Because everything that came about that was positive in 2019 stemmed from me making a relationship. So if I just focus on that, everything else is going to come. And then the only tangible thing I have is just to double my business. Every year, double, and that's it.
10x, you know, and every time.
10x, that's it. Like this me I put on my phone now, I'm 25. So I got 5 years left, so I'm 30. I feel like I'm getting fucking old. It's crazy. I was just talking to this kid today that was 22 that's doing well. I'm like, it's crazy to see the difference in ages now, right? Yeah. But for me, as a 25-year-old, I have 5 years left to create what I want by 30. Like 30 is a big number for people. So my goals are based around what I need at 30. And that I have on the background of my phone. It's like six goals. I want to be making $1 million in my pocket a year by 30. I want 30 apartment doors by 30. I want equity in 30 businesses by 30. I want my Lambo. I want my Rolls Royce. Bottom line. And I want Why Not You to be doing $5 million in revenue a year. So those are my goals for by the time I'm 30. So everything I'm doing in 2020, 2022 is to get to where I want to be from when I'm 30. And all sorts of relationships at the end of the day.
And you know what? Something that I want to really preach on since we have Tony on here. Tony worries about the back end. So I know that you heard he's 25. He's a young entrepreneur. A lot of people that are listening to this, they range in being super young, being a little bit older, whatever the case may be. But I think that a lot of people don't highlight the back end of a business. And a lot of people don't highlight the systems and processes of a business. Yes, Tony has a team. Yes, Tony works his ass off. But I also met Tony's accountant and Tony's bookkeeper. And I also met Tony's assistant. And I also met, you know, Tony's partner. So when you meet Tony, you're meeting his whole team and he has proper systems in place for it. Now, being so young and having that right state of mind of, hey, I need to make sure my systems are in place so I can win. I think that's something that separates you from a lot of businesses or a lot of young entrepreneurs that have a marketing agency because they don't have that end tightened, right? So what's some advice that you can give a young business business owner to put the proper systems in place. That way they can win, because I'm sure having that on your back end of knowing that your taxes get done quarterly, knowing that people are on the books, knowing that you have proper contracts in place, how important has that been for your business, and how can an entrepreneur thrive doing the same thing?
No, I think that's a fantastic question. I'm glad you brought that up, because at the end of the day with me, how I always thought, I'm more like CEO. That's what I look at. I got my partners, we're all co-founders, we all do like a lot of the same. I'm like a CEO. I'm very good at knowing what my strengths are and allocating the rest out as my weaknesses. But the one thing that separates me on that is that I know that I still need to know what I'm allocating my, you know, like orders to, pretty much, right? Like, I know about taxes. So I'm not just giving it to my accountant to like figure everything out. I have to have a basic understanding as a business owner about exactly where I need to be spending, where I need to be allocating my funds to have my business grow and successful in the day-to-day operations. Because he's not going to be watching me every hour of the day. So it comes down to, first foremost, you have to have awareness when you're starting a business on your entrepreneurial journey. Know what you're good at and know what you like to do. Okay, I think it's two separate things. Knowing what you're good at and knowing what you like to do. I'm good at some things that I don't like to do. So I'm not going to do them if I don't enjoy them, because I can't thrive doing them. And you have to know what you're not good at. I have four partners for a reason. One, because there's enough fucking money to go around. I think too many people are afraid to have partners because they don't want to share the pot. But if you have partners that really make up for what you don't want to do and can't do, you're going to be able to make way more money. And it's not going to matter that there's a percentage split. It makes no difference. So we're able to take that in great strides in that aspect. Like, we have a partner that does all the tech for us, all the back end. I do nothing with that end. But I know basic understanding of stuff that if I need something changed or fixed, I know how to communicate to him in a way that's not just like barking an order. Because as an owner of a company, you're a leader. You're not a boss. You need to be a leader. And all leaders need to be able to do anything that their employees are doing at any given time. Because otherwise, how are you going to become an effective leader? You're just barking orders then. You'll be able to show them or explain to them, or at least done it before. Everything that I have systems in place before I was making money, I was doing myself. I do my own bookkeeping. You know, I was doing my own invoicing, making up my own contracts. I was doing every little thing that in between that a business needs to do by myself until I started outsourcing everything else. But I knew how to do it before I got to that outsourcing part. And it's super important, because as you get bigger and you do start to grow, how are you going to be able to manage effectively if you don't know what it is that you're supposed to be managing? You know? So that's how I look at that type of stuff. But it really comes down to, as a business owner, you should know as many parts of the business as you possibly can, even if you don't do them. You know, I'd like to learn about taxes because I need to know, hey, do I need to spend more this month? Do I need to spend less? You know, like this December, I had to spend a lot of money to write stuff off. You know, and that's something I knew about. I like to save up to the end of the year, see how much I have, and then I can go all out in the last month for 2020. Because a lot of stuff's on sale too at this time, so it's good to get stuff to invest into the business.
Yeah,
it's a good time
Christmas
to do things.
Too.
Exactly. So you got to think ways like that that people don't think about, because they're so consumed in, I want to be the best marketing agent. Just be the best fucking business. You know, I know I can create any business that I'm in, it'll be successful. And it's not because of what I'm selling, it's because of how I operate as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, and as a visionary.
I love that, man. I really do. I'm inspired by you and your business. So I'm excited to see what you got going for 2020. I am going to wrap it up and ask you two more questions. And that's this. I know that you spoke on your why, right? You said your sister's your why. Your sister's what drives you. But what I want to know is, a lot of people fall into purpose, right? And they get stuck in this entrepreneur journey of, I'm not sure what my purpose is. I'm not sure what my calling is, right? And I think that for you, your purpose is relationships, right? Your calling is building relationships. As you said best, you know, you're CEO. You don't think like every other aspect in the business. So my question is, how did you find your purpose in this whole mess? Or are you still discovering your purpose?
I think your purpose is continually being discovered and expanded upon as you learn and grow. But I do think that you will have a purpose. You need a general purpose, right? My general purpose has always been to help you. And now it was just a matter of, on my journey, how am I going to be helping people? Am I helping people by making them laugh? Am I helping people by making them more money? Am I helping people by connecting them to who they need to be connected with? So that ended up becoming my purpose, that I saw that it was my purpose because it's what makes me happy. And it was what I was very good at. I'm good at helping people because I care. And it makes me happy that I'm able to help them in a different way that other people aren't able to help them. So to really find your purpose, you just need to do a lot of things. And I think a lot of people, they're not able to find their purpose and they're not able to find what they like because they don't try enough things. If you try three things, how much other stuff are you missing? I've tried dozens of things. That's why I know where I am now and I know so much myself because I've tried so much. But if you don't try enough, it's going to be very difficult for you to find what your purpose is if you're not doing enough things to find that out. Or are you really sitting there even thinking about what your purpose is? You know, I've spent time to reflect and to refocus. Like tonight, I'm not going to watch the ball drop anywhere. I'm going to be in my office. I'm going to go through what I did in 2019 and what I want to be doing for 2020. That's my New Year's Eve. I'm not going to be up for the ball drop. I'll probably be in bed a little bit early, to be honest with you. And that's because you need to be aware of those types of things to be able to find your purpose, really hone in on it, and make sure you continually stay aligned with that purpose that you set forth for yourself in the beginning.
And it's really important to make sure that you align with your purpose and the values that you give for your business. So this makes me go into, how do you build a team that helps you thrive and not merely survive? Because like you said, you got 15 people on your team right now. How do you keep that culture going with your team and with your business?
Yeah, listen, when you're building a team of people, it's extremely difficult, especially being, listen, I'm young, I'm 25 is young, and it is difficult having a leadership position among other people that are either your age, even a little bit older. And the one thing that's helped us succeed so well by running a team is everyone that works with us is invested into our vision and our mission. We started the company Why Not You to be able to help people realize, why not you? Why can't you be who you want to be? You know, that's how we think. So everyone that works for us has a mentality, and they're embedded in that belief. They're in that vision. Plus, I think it's a massive thing to constantly show appreciation and gratitude for the people that are working with you. Another thing is, you need to be accountable. I'm super accountable to everyone on my team. Even if they make a mistake, that mistake was a reason. It was my fault. Maybe I didn't oversee it. Maybe I didn't teach them the right way.
Yeah.
So I'll say to them, listen, I'm sorry I didn't teach you the right way to do it. How can I help you get better so it doesn't happen again? It's not, why did you do this?
Yeah.
That's not how you grow a business. You know, people are so fragile, and it just comes back down again to relationships. I'm very close with everyone on my team. Some of them are my closest friends. And it's not by accident, right? You need to have that type of stuff where it's an open communication for every aspect of their lives. I need to know, are you struggling financially? Did you having a bad day? Did something happen with your family? Something happened with your pet? I want to know these types of things. That matters more to me than the tangible tasks that I'm giving you to accomplish. Because yeah, listen, no matter if you're the best employer or not, your mistakes are going to be made.
Yep.
But it's how you're able to coach those mistakes through that's going to keep the business going on forward. And it really comes down to having the people believe in the leaders and see that, listen, at the end of the day, all my teammates, no one on my team works harder than me. It's fucking impossible to. You can't have a girlfriend, you can't have a kid, you can't have this. It's very difficult to work as much as I do, especially if you're someone on my team, right? So when they see me, the person that's running the company, doing all these things, they feel good. They're like, all right, I'm working 8 hours, but Tony's working 15. I feel good knowing my 8 hours, they're helping him push him to do, because I know he's doing the rest of the work that needs to be done. This company's not going to be a one-and-done type of company. And I think that's super important in leadership, that you can't be the boss that gets to the office late and leaves early. Because what type of morale are you going to be setting for your company?
Especially starting up.
Yeah, especially starting up. And I've gotten so much business because I show how much I work. You know, my clients see that I work so much, so they're attracted to that. Because they're like, if I'm working with Tony, Tony's always available. You know, and they see that just from my story. That's why I'm even talking to them. But same thing with my team. You know, and they know that, listen, if I'm putting in the work with Why Not You, they're going to keep growing, because I know Tony's going to be running helm and constantly keep growing that baby further and further.
I love it, man. And I see your work ethic. It's impeccable. It's impeccable. So with that being said, I'm going to ask you the last question. And that's this. If you could, Tony, eat dinner with three legends, dead or alive, who would they be and why?
That's a fucking fantastic question. I have no idea. Wow. You know, it's funny because a lot of people entrepreneurs, they always have like mentors and idols that they look up to. I never had that. You know, I'm a fan of a lot of the people that we watch and listen to, but never had someone that was like really vested in and following so deeply about. Because my thing was, if I follow them too much, you end up kind of copying little things that they do. And I know I'm going to get to their point eventually. So if I'm sitting next to them, I don't want to be competing with them.
Yeah. You know,
I want to become their friend while I'm up there. So honestly, the biggest mentors I've had has been my father, because of the hard work. You know, he's really instilled in me work ethic. He may not instill in me any business sense or any support, especially in the beginning. He still doesn't really understand what I do now, but he's happy for me, right? But I would pick my father, you know, more as taking him out to a nice dinner, just that more as a gratification type of thing, gratitude. I'd probably take, that's one. This is tough. This is a good question. I don't know. It's a very good question, Ani.
Everyone gets stumped on this. Everyone gets stumped. If it's one person, it's cool. How about your grandfather? Is he still alive? Or
he's still alive, 89. Awesome. He retired when he was 86 years old. He shut down the pizzeria. So I saw hard work from him. He used to wake up at 6 in the morning, go to the pizzeria, and then shut down by 9 o'clock all these years that I know him. So that also showed me hard work. Like, I'm around hard workers. So it was like, for me to be able to work harder than isn't that easy.
Yeah.
I just got to kind of do what they did at least. And to me, it's funny because they don't think I work hard just because I'm not out hitting the pavement. You know, my dad's a union guy. He's more brute, you know. And my grandfather, forget about it, with all the fucking pizza, his thumbs look like this. You know, they're constantly up. So me, they're like, oh, you don't really work. I'm like, I'm working every time I'm on my phone, to be honest with you. They don't understand that concept. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd probably take my father. I'd take my sister. And maybe I'd take my grandfather. That'd be the crew I would take, you know.
I love it.
That's, appreciate those that got you to where I am. That's how I need to look at it, because I'll eventually get to in front of the people that I want to be in front of over time.
Yep. I love that, man. I really do. So let the people know where they can get more of you from, where they can start following you. It's on Instagram, Tony Peck. But where can they follow your business page? Where can they, you know, work with you directly if they want to? If you like what you hear, go ahead and follow him. But I want them to be able to go to your business and leverage you as well. So let them know where they can find you at.
Yeah, guys, listen, follow me on Instagram, Tony Peck underscore, TONYPEC underscore. Shoot me a DM at any time about any questions. If you guys listen to this, you have a question you want to reach out to me about, I answer everyone. It takes me a little time sometimes when I get back to you. Ask me questions. Don't be afraid. I'm here to help you guys out. If you got questions about the business, shoot me a DM on my personal page too. You guys also follow our Instagram page, Why Not You Media. It's Y with just a letter Y, no word Y. Don't be confused by that. But yeah, that's pretty much it, guys.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you being on the Power Talk. You've been awesome, Tony. We definitely got to link up again. And thank you so much. If you guys are listening to this conversation, make sure you run it back about two times, because he made very, very, very powerful points about what you do with your brand, how you leverage Instagram, and how you leverage your business through leadership skills, systems, processes, and being very humble in the same way. So got a lot of love for you, Tony. Thank you so much. And it's good speaking with you. Let's take a picture so we can go ahead and show off that we are with the man, the myth, the legend.
Let's do it.
One, two, three. Oh, shit. 1 second, guys. Messed up.
Let me do one, two. Do a screenshot.
Let's see. I just learned how to screenshot on my computer, guys, so bear with me. Seriously? All right, there you go. One, two, three. Wait, where's Tony at?
Oh, hang on. Okay. There we go.
One, two, three. All right. Awesome, man. Thank you so much again. I appreciate you, brother. It was really good having you on. And Tony Peck came into the building and put the power in social media. If you like this conversation, you got something out of this, let me know below. Let us know what your takeaway was. Let us know what you're going to take from this conversation and implement into your business. I know that the power of networking has helped me build up so many relationships, has helped me build so many opportunities for individuals and myself. Hell, having Tony Peck on here, we communicated through Instagram, we communicated through the power of networking, and now we're sitting here doing conversations with each other. We're sitting here leveraging each other's network and net worth. So it's something that's very powerful. And if you're not doing it, just remember this: the more hands you shake, the more money you make, the more opportunities you create. So if you like what I say, you like what I do, you like what you're seeing, make sure you do this. Follow me on Instagram at Azonani, AZONANI. And most importantly, make sure you go ahead and hit that subscribe button, do the right thing, and then share this episode. Why? Because someone in your network needed to hear this. Someone you know needs to hear this. And most importantly, you need to spread the message that the Empower Movement is coming to an area near you. With that being said, I got one last thing to say, and that's this. Let's go and let's grow.